Thank you so much, dear brothers and sisters. Today, it's amazing because we've been studying on Facebook Live every day. Most of you know that we have a daily devotions. And we've been studying Bible characters and gleaning spiritual truths from their lives. We started at Genesis, and we're going to go right to Malachi and then into the New Testament. It's a long spiritual safari that we're on. And last week, we were looking at King Saul and David. Now, I'll be honest with you, brothers and sisters, I have preached more on David, I think, than anyone else, except, of course, Jesus our Lord. But I have tackled almost everything you can possibly imagine when it comes to the life of David. And so here I am last week looking into his life and sharing truth. And something jumped out of me, and just out of the pages of the scriptures that I've never seen before that I want to be able to share with you this morning. And so I believe this is fresh revelation, fresh manna for us. And if you have your Bibles, we are in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll look at verse number 12 right to verse number 20. Very familiar portion of scripture, let me tell you. But I tell you, something fresh has come to me that I want to share with you this morning. We'll begin at verse number 12. And David was the son of Ephratith of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had eight sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his three sons that went into the battle were Eliab, the firstborn. And the next unto him was Abinadab. And the third was Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near in the morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry the 10 cheeses, he's got cheese, imagine that, unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how they, for brethren, fare and take their pledge. And now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was, notice now, very important, as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. As the host was about to fight Israel, as the Philistines were just about to attack, here comes David on his camel with some cheese and some bread and some parched corn. He's got some lunch. Yes, this is the true king. This is the anointed king who is an errand boy bringing lunch to his brothers after he was anointed to be king. Wow. So David, here's your first job. Now that you've been anointed to be king, in chapter 16 we discover that. Go and bring some lunch. Yeah. Just go bring some lunch. You're the errand boy because your brothers need to eat. Oh, we're going to go far this morning. I want to thank you for joining us. Now, as I begin, and by way of introduction, a word comes to my mind. It's the word excellence. Excellence. Excellence has many meanings. The Bible wants us to pursue holiness, to pursue excellence, to have a spirit of excellence. The Bible says in Daniel 6, Daniel had an excellent spirit. an excellent spirit. Excellence, my friends, does not come when the crowds gather. No. Excellence does not come when everyone is watching you. Excellence is nurtured through mediocrity. Excellence comes and is nurtured through the ordinary, through the mundane things of life. That's how the spirit of excellence is nurtured and grows. And we're going to see in this story how God is going to nurture David's spirit into excellence for something that he's not even aware of. In our text, there's nothing that warns us of the significance of that day. It's just an ordinary day for David. He doesn't understand what is about to take place. In verse 15, he goes back home. He's called to do his kingly duties. Yeah, he's feeding the sheep. My God. Just finished being anointed by Samuel, and now he's gone back to the manure pile of the sheep, and he's feeding the sheep while his brothers are out to battle. Just an ordinary day. God's put no warning label on greatness. The Bible says in verse 17 that now Jesse tells his son, now that you finished feeding the sheep, David, good boy, I want you to go now and take this lunch and go bring it to your brothers. Yeah. Bring it to your brothers. But now that you finished cleaning the manure and dealing with the sheep, go, Aaron boy, go and feed now your brothers. Interesting. Just finish feeding the sheep, now go feed your brothers. Take this lunch. But you see, it's an ordinary day for David. And you know, friends, God doesn't tell you that when you meet a certain person, that person you are about to meet is going to change your life. God never tells you that. God never puts any warning labels or anything that gives you an indication that maybe this day is going to be different than the next day. God doesn't tell you that when you leave this place that you'll never be the same again. No, he doesn't say that this job that you have, that you might not like, that you think is so ordinary, so mundane, is going to be the catalyst for you to enter into your destiny. Now you think about that for a moment. David had no clue about the day. That day, as he's bringing lunch to his brothers, that day arguably is going to be the greatest day in David's life. David is the baby of the family. He's been rejected. He's not respected. Not at all. Even though he's been anointed. Isn't that interesting? We think now that we're anointed, oh, we're going to get the respect of everybody. Now that I've been anointed, man, I'm going to have such power. Things are going to happen. I can just see it. All this great victory. I'm anointed. David's anointed. And now he's feeding the sheep. And as he's finished feeding the sheep, he's not going to feed his brothers. And he's not even recognized. But on this day, my friends, he has a little chore to do. A little chore on this particular day. There's no difference. It's just another day. It's ordinary. He's got this little assignment he's got to take care of. Doesn't seem like there's much effort in going to bring some lunch to his brothers. But God, he doesn't know it, but God is grooming David for greatness. God is grooming David for excellence. That's right. And he doesn't know it. just like you and me, my friend. God might call us to bring some lunch to somebody. We think it's such an ordinary, mundane situation, but little do we know that behind that day, something extraordinary is about to take place. You see, my friends, you see, greatness doesn't come overnight. Excellence doesn't come overnight. There needs to be a grooming, a pruning, grooming, grooming, grooming. That's what takes place for greatness to grow. There needs to be a greatness that takes place in the wilderness. You see, greatness and excellence takes place in the pruning. It takes place in the waiting. It takes place in the secret place. It takes place outside of the fanfare. It takes place in the desert. It takes place away from the crowds, away. David is about to go through 14 years of grooming, and he has no idea that God has prepared him. When? After the anointing. After he's been anointed. Doesn't seem to make sense. But God was doing something in David's life that he had no clue. And there are things that God does in your life, my friends, that you're scratching. You've got no clue. You don't see it. You don't realize what God is doing. And that's when we get into trouble, when we don't understand what's really going on. And many times in these precarious moments that we all experience, if we're not careful, that's where we begin to fade or stray. I know it doesn't look very good right now for some of you. I know this situation is pretty grim for you, but God is grooming you. He's grooming me. He's grooming us for greatness. He's grooming the Davids of this world. He's grooming you for greatness. Here's the problem. If you're not ready for this, life lesson number one, if you're not willing to bring lunch to your brothers, even if you know that you've been anointed, if you're not willing, if you can't manage the little things, are you ready for this? You will never be able to manage the big things. Did you hear me? If you can't manage the little things, Mr. David, that's right, you've been anointed, I know that. If you can't manage the little things, don't ever expect to be given the greater things. Look, if the little things overwhelm you, if you're stressed out over these little things, then you'll never be ready for the greater things. Never. Because it's always in the little things, Mr. David. That's what God is using to prune, to chisel away. You'll never see the greater things if you don't graduate from the little things. And in spite of how small it looks right now, my friend, it's bigger than you think. Despite how small this task might appear, it's much bigger than you think. It's much bigger than you think. It's much bigger than you think. Yeah. I know it looks pretty grim. And that's why I've entitled this message, The Little Giant. Despite all of how little you look right now, despite how small you might perceive you look right now, it's much bigger than you think. Here comes David, who's about to face a giant, but he didn't even know himself that he's the little giant who's about to face the big giant. The little giant is about to face the big giant. And you see, do you think that as David approached the camp that day, that he knew that he was about to face The deepest, the greatest, the most, the greatest enemy of Israel. Do you think when David got off his camel, if you will, to bring lunch to his brothers, do you think that David was aware that he was going to face Goliath? Do you think he had any idea that this day that David, as he obeyed his father, he's a Maron boy, as he obeyed dad, that he is going to face something that will change his life forever on this ordinary day? Oh, my friends, don't despise the ordinary, because in the ordinary, something extraordinary can happen in your life. You see, David has not been recognized. And I'm going to tell you why he has not been recognized. As I mentioned earlier, he's already been anointed. But you see, it hasn't gone through the camp yet, and I'm going to tell you why. If you notice in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, now watch this. The Bible says, "And the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go, and I'll send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite. I have provided a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you. Go and sacrifice. Tell him you're sacrificing. Go and anoint this young man." You see, Samuel had to anoint David secretly because King Saul would have killed him. This wasn't known for everybody. Nobody really knew that David was anointed to be king. Secretly, David was anointed. And I'm not sure how David really felt about that. He's just a young kid. He's the youngest. Doesn't fully understand. He hasn't really lived life yet. He's not recognized. He's just a shepherd boy to the world. You see, he's just an errand boy cleaning up the sheep. That's all he was. That's how the world perceived him. And maybe that's how the world perceives you, my friend, and how the world perceives me. Yeah, just mere shepherd boy. Ah, to the eyes of the world, we're shepherd boys. But in the eyes of God, we are his anointed, a royal priesthood. And so David, he's off to feed his brothers. Thinks that he's going down to carry some lunch. He has no idea he's going to be in the fight of his life. Yeah. He has no idea. If he did, he would have prepared differently, just like you would. If you knew that this day you're going to wake up tomorrow and it's just an ordinary day, and if you knew that something extraordinary, something would happen, you would probably prepare differently. But David would have obviously prepared differently. If he knew he was going to fight Goliath, he would probably maybe try to find a sword somewhere. Maybe he would try to get some kind of spear. He would try to, but no, he doesn't know. It's an ordinary day. It's just a regular day. Just a regular day. An ordinary day. What can happen today? You see, he comes down, but he doesn't realize that this day is much bigger than he thinks. David didn't know he was about to walk into the battle of his life that would determine his destiny. My God. Yeah. On just an ordinary day, he didn't know who Goliath was. You see, God doesn't introduce us to Goliath. No, you encounter him on an ordinary day. You see, there are some of you out there in Facebook and YouTube land, you have not yet met your Goliath, but without your Goliath, you will never enter into your destiny. You see, while we fight most of our lives against even encountering Goliath, God wants us to be introduced to Goliath. Because we don't want to fight Goliath. We don't want to go through things like that. But you see, your Goliath is coming. Why? Because you have destiny. Yeah, you have a call in your life. And unless you meet Goliath, you will never get into your destiny. You will never discover your destiny. You will never end up in your destiny. For you see, Goliath is the stepping stone into your destiny. You need it. For if it wasn't for Goliath, David would have never been the king. He's coming without warning, your Goliath. Yeah. You don't even know what this is all about. There's no invitation. You have not prepared for it. You see, everything you've gone through, my friend, watch this now. Everything you've experienced up to now has been preparing you for your encounter with Goliath. But you haven't seen it yet because you're too focused on the externals. You don't see beyond the extra. You don't see beyond that veil. And so everything you've experienced that you've hated, that you've even want to run from, that you want to get rid of, all those things that you've encountered is now preparing you to meet Goliath. David, why do you think God sent you a lion? Why do you think God sent you a bear? It's preparation so you can meet Goliath. Because once you meet Goliath, that's where you enter into that place of destiny. So you can't run from Goliath when he comes. That's right. God is preparing you for this moment. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but God is preparing you for this moment. Yes, the little things, the small things. Yeah, the little things. We don't like little things. We don't like small things. But that's why the Bible says in Zechariah, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Without small beginnings, there's nothing. Small beginnings. Do you remember? It was with 2 fish and 5 loaves that Jesus fed the thousands. And where did this come from? A little boy having a little lunch. Here is David, a little boy, bringing a little bit of lunch for his brothers. Oh, I see the parallel. Something powerful is about to happen. Yes, the lion that came out of nowhere, the bear that growled and came out of the woods. Yes, the snakes that slithered up through the grass and almost bit you on the ankle. Yeah. All these attacks, all of these experiences are getting you ready. Getting you ready. So stop complaining about it. Stop fighting God. Stop getting angry. They're getting you ready for something. Getting you ready. Getting you ready. I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready. I know there's a battle, but they're getting ready. I'm getting ready. You see, friends, you see, they don't come with signs. They don't come with labels telling you this trial is preparing you. You don't go through a trial and God is telling you, look, don't worry. I'm just allow you to go through this trial because you're going to see from this, you're going to go over here. And there's no details. The bear just comes. The lion just comes. And it's your attitude in dealing with the bears and the lions that causes you to meet the Goliath. And if you're not ready after dealing with the lion, if you're not ready after dealing with the bear, you'll never be ready dealing with Goliath. Never. Won't make it. You won't make it. You won't survive. And so when you get into the fight, it won't feel like a fight of your life because you see all of the battles that you've experienced, all the lions, all the snakes, all the vipers, all the, they're getting you ready. You see, God has been training you, David. Been training you. You didn't even realize it. And you thought it was his fault and your mother's fault and your father's fault and your son. And God is getting you ready, preparing you, training you. Doesn't the Bible say in 1 Timothy 4:7, training yourselves unto godliness, training yourselves unto, that God wants to train you. The Greek word is gymnastiki. It means exercise. You're training, you're going through a training program. And normally when you do that physically, it's to get in shape physically. But you don't get in shape overnight. Hey, listen to me. Nobody runs a marathon because you decide to run a marathon. Okay, I'm ready. Can you sign me up? When's the next marathon in town? Oh, it's in the month of May. Great, sign me up. Are you kidding me? You run a marathon just because you want to, you'll collapse in the first mile. And for some of you, in the first few yards. Elaine, don't laugh. You know I'm talking about you. You won't make it. You can't just run a marathon. It takes training. And for some, it takes years to train to run a marathon. Sacrifice. And waking up early sometimes. And going through the pain. Of going through that routine, that commitment, that discipline, preparing you, the ordinary, just an ordinary day, I'm going to wake up and train. It's always in the ordinary that's preparing you for the extraordinary. And so when you face a Goliath, there's a sense of confidence. You can now run the marathon after you've been training for years. Man, in the hot weather, in the cold, you're ready. So when the marathon comes and the day comes, you're not freaking out because you've been training. I remember when I was in Bible college, you know, we used to have our final exams. And some of the students, you know, I don't know if they took it seriously or not. They would cram. They would cram. They would study the last night or the two nights. They would pull 12-hour studies. They would study for 12 hours before the exam. I'm not kidding. I had a friend of mine. If you're watching out there, you know who I'm talking about. And time for the exam I remember talking. So nervous, because he crammed a few hours of study for a final exam. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't nervous at all. I'll tell you why I wasn't nervous. Because 1 month before the exam, I had all my papers done, all my due dates done. I had 1 month to study. Well, my friend finished his due dates 1 day before the final exam. I was already studying a month for the finals. You see, that's what training does. You see, when you prepare yourself, when the actual day comes for the race, you're ready. You've been training. See, David is being trained for excellence, trained for greatness. He's got confidence. That's why you have to Rejoice when you go through tribulations, my friend, because there's a crown. That's why Peter said, after you have suffered a while, after you've gone through training, the sweat, the pain, sometimes you're training and you're running and you get a cramp or you slip and you fall and there's a bit of blood. After you have suffered a while, after you have suffered a while, he will establish you or perfect you. And there's the same similar word of excellence that we talked about earlier. Maturity. Yes, my friends. So rejoice when you find yourself in a pit. Rejoice when you find yourself in a prison cell. Rejoice when you find yourself in a place where all hell is breaking loose. Rejoice, rejoice. Why? Because God has got you in a training camp. Yeah, God is preparing something for you. He's preparing. You see, you won't get from the pit to the palace overnight. There needs to be some training. Yes, I want to speak to someone who finds himself this morning in some kind of boot camp. That's right. God is preparing you for excellence. God is training you for something. And I know it's hard. I know there's a lot of sweat. I know there's a lot of sacrifice. But you see, without it, you won't get to. And when you meet Goliath, you won't be able to deal with Goliath. You won't be able to stand before him. You see, you don't know it yet. But God at the right time is going to do something so powerful in your life. But you got to go through the lions first. You got to go through the bears first. You got to go through the snakes first. Isaiah 60 verse 22 tells us what a powerful scripture. At the right time, God will hasten it to happen. At the right God, God will perform it to happen. Depends what translation you read. It is the same thing. At the right time, God will propel you into that place. God will bring your Goliath before you that will set your destiny. Yes. He is building you up. He's building your tolerance. You see, you can't run a marathon race overnight because you see, you'll collapse. You'll collapse in a few meters because you don't have tolerance. You don't have endurance. You see, in a race, the more you try and the more you run and the more you're being trained, the more tolerance is being developed. So when the race goes on after 5 miles, after 10 miles, after 20 miles, you're still able to run because your tolerance has been built up. You've been training. That's what God does in the spirit realm. He builds up your tolerance through the lions, through the bears, through the coyotes. He's building tolerance. So when Goliath comes at you, you're able to look him in the face. How dare you insult the armies of Israel? How dare you insult my God? Tolerance. You're building tolerance for where God is about to take you. And so David has some lunch to give to his brothers, and he gets whatever he needs. He saddles up and goes to the camp. Just an ordinary day. Ordinary day for David. He goes to the camp. Yes, but this is much greater than you think, David. This is much bigger than you think. Everything that has been great always started on what you thought was an ordinary day. God is about to do something powerful. Maybe this is an ordinary day for you, But my friend, maybe on this day, something extraordinary can happen. Yeah, maybe on the next prayer meeting, something ordinary. Yeah, the next day you walk in to work. Yeah, just an ordinary work day, something, but just an ordinary prayer meeting, just an ordinary lunch, just an ordinary day, just something ordinary, an ordinary Sunday, an ordinary service, something extraordinary can happen in something that is ordinary. Listen, friends, just because it starts small, it doesn't mean it's going to end up small. Are you with me? Don't despise the days of small beginnings. Life lesson number two. Are you ready for this? You see, whenever God is about to do something great or do great things in your life, He tests you with the small things. Whenever God is about to do something great or greater, He will test you with the smaller. He will test you with the lesser. He will test you with something that seems few. You see, my friends, until you are faithful over a few, you can never be faithful over many. Oh, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but that's a word for somebody. Unless you are faithful over the few, you can never be faithful over the many. Unless you're able I'll talk to the preachers out there. Unless you can preach and have a congregation of 10 and be faithful to the 10, don't expect 110 or 2,010. You got to be faithful with the few. The few. Until you can be trust. Oh my God. You see, friends, you can't be faithful over many if you're not faithful over the few. And my point is, until you can be trusted with lunch. Here we are. You can't be trusted with giants. Oh, I'll tell you, I like this. I'm getting excited. I like that word that just came out. Unless you can be trusted with lunch. Remember, David is the errand boy. Go give this lunch to your brothers. Unless you can be trusted to bringing the lunch, you can't be trusted facing Goliath. It won't work. Friends, is there someone out there, watch this now, that can't be trusted with lunch because you're holding on for the next big thing? But until then, you're just sitting around, slothful, lazy, laid back, taking it easy, but you don't understand it's how you handle the little things that determines what's coming next in your life. If not, you'll take laps around Mount Sinai like Israel did, going nowhere because they were not faithful with the little things. They didn't trust God with the little things. And that's what happens with all of us. You see, the next big thing is the little thing. Oh, you can write that one down. The next big thing is the little thing in your life. That's right. Look at some of these great men of God. When you study their lives, you'll always find that they did the little things well. I don't know who I'm speaking to. Samson found a little jawbone of an ass, a donkey, destroyed thousands. Shamgar found a little whip, one small little whip. Judges chapter 3. And he destroyed 600 Philistines. Gideon had 300 men who didn't know how to fight, who were qualified not by their strength, but how they drank water. My God, a little army destroyed a huge army. The little things. David finds a little pebble and slays a huge giant. The little things. The little things, the little things, the little things. Listen, friends, if David, watch this, we talk about little things. Are you ready for this? I don't know if you're going to like me very much, but that doesn't matter because it's the truth. Are you ready? If David had overslept that day, stay with me. If David, now talk about little things. If David had overslept, he would have arrived to the camp too late. Some of you sleepyheads, that's right. You're sleeping just a little bit too long. If David slept too long that day, you see, if he would have got there later on, he would have missed the greatest moment of his life. I was very careful to see that because in verse 20, the Bible says, the Bible says in our text that David arrived at the moment that the Philistines were going to attack as Goliath is tormenting Israel. The timing was so important. You see, David could have made excuses. Stay with me. Remember, David is the anointed. He just got anointed in chapter 16. And what does he get to the anointing? What's his job? To go back to his father's house, the Bible says, we just read it, to clean up the sheep from the dung that they leave behind, and now to be an errand boy to feed his brothers who can't stand him? And what? He obeys his father who rejected him? Excuse me? Certainly David could have said, I'm just going to take my sweet time here. But he didn't. He obeyed in the little things. If he would have been 4 minutes late, 20 minutes late, he would have missed this incredible experience that transformed him and propelled him into his destiny. But David obeyed the little things, even though he was a king. Kind of reminds me of Jesus, doesn't it? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who came to die for the Jessies and the Eliabs and the Abinadabs, who had no respect for David. He died for us while we were yet sinners. He was obedient right to the cross, the Bible says in Hebrews. We see parallels. You see, that's why excellence, greatness, says everything is important. That's why the Bible says, whatsoever ye do, eat, drink, whatever it is, whatsoever ye do, you do it as unto the Lord. The little things, the big things, that little prayer meeting, your commitment to seeking God, the little things. I know you got a lot of things going on. No. I'm committed. I gotta be focused. The little things. Yes, God is leading me. He's directing me. The steps of a righteous man are ordered. Yes, all the steps, the little steps. The big steps, the little lunches, the big galas, the great events, the small events. A person that needs Jesus, that the person who needs that help, the little ones that people don't even look at. everything. Whatsoever ye do, every step, even the step of betrayal, God has ordained. Even the step of the lion that's come against you, ordained. The bears that attack you, ordained. Ordained. Every step, God's in control. You see, the timing has to be right. The timing has to be right. God is big on timing. Oh, God is big. David shows up right on time. He didn't have to show up on time, but he did. He did it for the little things. God's timing is so important. Verse 20, he came at the right time. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything. A time to mourn, a time to weep, time to laugh, time to dance, time to plan, a time for harvest, a time to all, a timing. Timing is big with God. Timing is huge. You can be at the right place at the wrong time. The right place, but it's the wrong time. Timing. You can have the right message, wrong place. It's the time that God wants you to bring lunch to somebody. There might be a time that God wants you to bring lunch to somebody. That's right. But God doesn't tell you that the lunch is what's going to get you into the next level spiritually in your life. He doesn't tell you that. I told you, there's no labels. God doesn't tell you when you wake up next week, when you go to work, that this, sometimes God might give you a word, but in the most case, and for most of it doesn't happen that way. It's daily routine, daily affairs, just lunch. And he sees whether you're going to obey him in the trivial, in the mundane. And that's where the test comes. The test always comes in the mundane. The test always comes in the trivial. The test always comes when nobody's looking. The test always comes when the fanfare. You see, it's in the private that determines the public. It's when nobody's looking. And God will test you as he did Abraham to see and prove your loyalty, your character. But he'll test you with something that you might think is beneath you. David could have said, this is beneath me, I'm anointed to be king, but he never said that. And he'll test you to bring lunch, and you might be saying, that's beneath me. I'm better than that. Who do you think I don't? Do you know who I am? Do you not know what I've done? David could have said a lot of things. So David shows up when the fight was about to take place at the right time. That's absolutely incredible. So just as David jumps off his camel, off his camel, the Philistines are about to attack. And here is Goliath about to do something horrific. Goliath, Goliath. You see, my friends, listen, from generations to generations, you see, this moment didn't just happen. You think this moment just happened. Yeah, David was at the right time. But you see, there was something about David. I'll tell you why. Because David was predestined. That's right, Mr. Christian. You too have been predestined. Ephesians tells us that he has chosen you before the foundation of the earth. But David was chosen for something. He came from the tribe of Judah. God had a word, something about the tribe of Judah. There'll be a lineage coming from the tribe of Judah. Through Jesse, through David, and yet into the line of Jesus. But David didn't see it. He wasn't even sure what his anointing was. He's just 16 years old. He was in boot camp. He didn't grasp so many things. But you see, when David goes to the camp with lunch, it's not about the lunch. I got two L's this morning.
It's about the legacy. I don't know who that's for. It's about his legacy. He didn't know it. Listen, friends, it's not about the lunch. It's not about the lunch. Stop fussing over the lunch. It's not about the lunch. The Bible says in verse 18, he brought corn, I believe, bread and cheese. That's what the Bible says. You think it's about the bread? You think God cares about whether it's calabres or whole wheat bread or white bread or paninis? You think that's what it is? You think it's about, the Bible says he brought 10 cheeses. You think God cares about the cheese? It's Roquefort or Gouda or Swiss cheese or American cheese or cream cheese. You think it's about the mustard or ketchup on your hot dog? Do you think, are you kidding me? Do you think that's what it's about? You think it's about the lunch? No, my friends, it's not about the lunch. It's not about. No, my friends, God is using the lunch, whatever it is, to get you ready for greatness, for excellence, for your destiny. And so the lunch is the key. And if you mess up with the lunch that seems so small, it's going to mess you up in meeting Goliath. And if you're messed up in meeting Goliath, you will never enter into your destiny. So don't limit the cheese. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. No, Pastor, I don't think I want to minister. I don't know if I want to be your associate because I'm looking for $60,000 a year at least. Yeah, I had a pastor tell me that once. Oh, really? Oh, really? I'm looking for people to help me wash the toilets. I'm looking for people that can help me get the lunch to brother so-and-so. Are you willing? No, I'm not. You'll never enter into your destiny. I know that's for somebody out there. I don't know who it is. That's why God allowed a famine to take place in Bethlehem. And Naomi and Elimelech, they end up going to Moab. And there, their children, they meet two Moabite women. One of them marries Ruth. God had purpose. Nobody knew what was going on. They thought it was all about the lunch, the famine. And then all of a sudden, 10 years later, there's another famine, but it's not in Bethlehem. It's in Moab. And so now here comes Naomi with Ruth. Her two children had died. Her husband has died. And now Ruth is coming with Naomi all the way back to Bethlehem. Oh my goodness. It's not about the lunch. Some destiny. Ruth has obeyed. Destiny's coming forth. Destiny. All of a sudden, Ruth ends up gleaning some wheat, some grains in somebody's field. It could have been anybody's field. It just so happened, the Bible says, H-A-P, it's right there in Ruth chapter 1, that she was gleaning upon Boaz. The Bible says Boaz just so happened to be coming back to his field to check up on some matters, and there he notices Ruth, who just so happened to be there at that particular time. And Boaz says, excuse me, who is this woman in the corner? Her name is Ruth. It's Naomi's daughter-in-law. And it just so happened that Ruth was there. Just so happened that Boaz was there. If Ruth was late, they would have never met. God has a way of working things that are so mind-boggling. It's really hard to grasp. But you see, God will put you at the right place at the right time. You see, because God is working all things out. God is for his purposes. That's why the Bible says in Romans 8, all things, famine, storms, death, betrayal, bankruptcy, all things, happiness, penthouse, doghouse, all things are working out. If you're a Christian, if you're a true believer, I'm speaking to the true believer. I'm not talking about this scripture that's been misquoted. I've had people who don't even believe in God quote this scripture to me. Oh, really? No. He's speaking to those who believe. Believers, all things are working out. All the things, all the experiences for his purposes. But watch us now. We talked about excellence. Verse 29. We forget verse 29 of Romans 8. So that we can be conformed to his image. So all the lions and the bears and the snakes are tools that God is using to perfect us. You see how I'm trying to bring my premise back to this? Excellence. God wanted David to have an excellent spirit. Daniel had an excellent. He'll do what it takes. God will put you at the right place. God is working it out. I met my wife in a very similar way as you have, and some of the experiences that you have. Do you think they just happened? Do you think I just so happened to meet my wife in 1986? Do you think I just so happened to see her come down the stairs as I was preaching and I almost got lost in my notes when I saw her? Do you think that just happened coincidentally? Well, Nadia even been to the church and I didn't even know it. You think it just so happened that that Wednesday that I was preaching, I wasn't supposed to be preaching, that it was during the cantata Christmas season and my senior pastor, lead pastor Bombay, was supposed to do the adult Bible study, but he didn't do it that day. And he just so happened to ask me, and I didn't really do Bible study back in those days. And I was the one that was available, and I decided to. I was a little bit nervous. It was one, I think, my first Bible study, and I did it. And it just so happened that Nadia was coming down the stairs on that day, when it just so happened that she had an exam the next day or so, and it just so happened that she decided to go to church instead of staying home and studying. Because there was destiny. There was purpose. Purpose. You see, what God is doing is bigger than what you think. What God is doing is bigger than what you think. And so here is David carrying some lunch into Legacy. He gets there just in the right time. The Philistines are about to attack. David runs to the battlefield carrying some lunch to give to his brothers. But it's bigger than he thinks. He says he sees these armies, the armies of the Philistines. And out from the pack, out from the wolf pack, out from the herd comes this monstrosity of a man. Comes this giant. David just so happened to be there. David just so happened to be there. Just so happened. The right time, the right moment. And in verse 23, George, I want you to see what happens. Something so powerful. Verse 23 of chapter 17. Watch this now. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake. Now watch this. According to the same words, and David heard them. Now, you might think, Pastor, what's so great about that? Nothing great. But I like the word heard. David heard these words. Now, why would the Bible say David heard? Everybody heard. They all heard the tormenting words of Goliath, the insulting words. They all heard what Goliath was saying. Why did the Bible say David heard?
See, it doesn't matter
that others heard, because it didn't affect them. It affected only one person, David. The rest, they didn't respond in any way except fear. Only David really heard these words, because it really affected his heart. Something stirred within him. Wait a minute
here. What's the matter with all you Israelites? How can you just stand here?
Remember Moses, the same thing happened to Moses. When Moses saw the taskmaster kill that Hebrew slave, something stirred up in Moses.
You see, destiny was being stirred up. Something was being stirred up. Your calling was being stirred up. Your anointing was being stirred. Something.
Wait a minute, you uncircumcised Philistine. How dare you insult God's armies? Worst of all, you're insulting my God. God broke his heart. I don't understand how some Christians can hang around you, have people, you're in the workplace and they're swearing and it doesn't bother you. How can it not bother you? They use the name of God in vain and it doesn't bother. How can it not bother you? David was overwhelmed. How dare you? Notice David asks a question. Seems kind of strange. The Bible says David asks the questions. What will be given to the man that kills Goliath? Well, what makes you so sure that you're going to kill Goliath, David? What are you going to do, King Saul, to the man that kills this giant? Are you going to do? It seems a little crazy, because David is so little and Goliath is so big. That's where you get my title, the little giant. He's so little, the giant's so big. How can something so little go after something so big? It doesn't seem to make sense. Well, maybe there's somebody out there. Listen, we'll go deeper. You might have a vision. You're little, but you got a big vision. A big vision, and nobody sees it, and there's no money to provide for it. Yes, you might have a big dream, but there's no help. You might even have a big ministry, but there's only two or three people in your church. Nobody's really supporting you. How can such a little boy go after such a big giant? Oh, my friends, but God is going to make a way. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. And so here's David with no training. No training. He's not even listed in the army. David's he's a reject. He's just an errand boy. He's just a shepherd boy. Here's David, and despite all of this, David says, I'm gonna fight you, Goliath. I'm not scared of you. You see, God had me fight the lion for a reason. God had me deal with the bears for a reason, the snakes for a reason. You see, friends, Israel, all Israel sees Goliath is as an obstacle, but David sees Goliath as an opportunity. There's two O's for you, obstacle versus opportunity. Israel saw as an obstacle, David saw as an opportunity for God's glory to be seen, for God's grace and power to be seen. And despite his body, despite his age, despite his inabilities, his inexperience, God brings him before the king. God brings him before Goliath. But God first brings him before the king. Life lesson number three. Listen, your gift will always make room for it. If you always got to fight to prove yourself, fight to get ahead all the time, maybe you don't have that gift. Because your gift, whatever it is going to make room. God will use your gift and bring you before kings and bring you before giants. God will take, because he's given it to you for a purpose. There'll always be room. God will make a way. Now, wait a minute. Who's ever heard of a of this thing that a little boy will be brought before a king and brought before Goliath to solve the nation's problems, to solve Israel's. This is a little 16-year-old kid is now going to solve the entire nation's problem. Who's ever heard of such a thing? This little boy, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, but it happened before. Do you remember in 1 Samuel when Saul was tormented by an evil spirit? Somebody says, wait a minute, I know there's a little boy. He's a great musician. He can play the harp. There's something about him. There's gods with him. There's something about him. Maybe we can bring him up. And Saul says, okay, bring him. And David begins to play his harp. And all of a sudden, the evil spirit left Saul. Oh, we've seen this before. Your gift will always make room. You might be in the shadows. You might be in the pits. You might be with no money, out in despair. You might be in the wilderness, but your gift will present you before a king. Whatever God's given you will come into fruition. Yes, my friend. And so, I gotta close, but stay with me a little bit longer. Just hold on. You see, my friends, while the big armies of Israel are running away from Goliath, they're running. David, who is little on the outside, is big on the inside. And look at the irony and the paradox. Here's this big army running away from one man. And here is one boy facing the man that the armies are running away from. My God. My God. You see, if you're big on the inside, you'll be able to stand before kings, stand before giants. You see, my friend, that giant that stands before you is not bigger than the God that lives inside of you. Do you see it? And you'll be moved into a position of influence. And so watch this. What happens is a shift was going on. A great shift is going on. I see something. I mean, I think I have a word for somebody. A shift is coming. I believe a shift is coming in the year 2021. I honestly do. I honestly do. A shift is coming. I see something. I know you're nervous about it. I know you don't see it. I know you're scared and you might have some insecurities. But get ready for a shift. Get ready for a shift, my friend. Something's about to shift. And so here's David standing before the king. And the king says, what are you doing, David? Well, Mr. King, Mr. Saul, I'm here to kill Goliath. Excuse me? Yeah. I'm here to... You see, David knew that killing Goliath, that he would marry Saul's daughter and that his family would be taken care of. That's right, his family would be taken care of. Yes, yes, he's fighting for his own daddy who rejected him. He's fighting for his own family who thought he was not important. You know, sometimes you'll have to fight for people who don't even appreciate you. Sometimes you gotta be a good parent to a child that's rejected you and wants nothing to do with you. You're fighting a battle! David's fighting for himself, yes, but he's fighting for his family. So David says, I'm gonna kill Goliath. I'm not scared of Goliath. You see, killing Goliath changed his family's life. Killing Goliath changed David's life. You see, the important, because killing Goliath was the stepping stone for David to enter into his own kingdom that God promised him. Oh, God, I got to close. But now watch this. Life lesson number four. You see, whenever God is about to promote you, listen to me, this is huge. Don't miss this one. Whenever God is about to elevate you, whenever God is about to promote you, listen, you can be sure there will always be a Goliath standing in front of you. Always!
That Goliath is the gatekeeper
into the next level or the next dimension in your spiritual life. It's the gatekeeper. Goliath is always there. He's the next move. The next move of God in your life. It's Goliath that's standing. Oh, I gotta get through Goliath. Yeah. You see, until you find your Goliath, you won't find your breakthrough. Until you find your Goliath, you won't find your victory. Goliath will always be facing you just before the victory. It's always a Goliath. And I'm telling you this not because I've read it from 1 Samuel 7, by my own experience. I'm talking to you, pastoring over 40 years, in ministry rather, over 40 years, pastoring over 35 years. I'm telling you from experience, friends, experience. Anything I've achieved or grown or experienced, it's always been after a Goliath experience. Always. Any kind of growth, any kind of victory, I've always had a Goliath standing before me. Always. So will you. So stop running from Goliath. Stop it. Stop running. Stop trying to hide. Face him, because you won't enter your destiny until you defeat him. Are you hearing me? You won't enter into your destiny to the next level until you defeat him. Because David didn't realize how strong Goliath was. I'll tell you, he didn't. I'll tell you why. Because he was focused on how strong God is. That's what gave him the confidence and the strength. Oh, I don't know who I'm speaking to. Stop running. Stop running from your giants. Because if you're running from your giants, you're running from your destiny. Stop running from your fears, my God. And while everyone else is running away from it, here is David, the true champion, who's running towards it. Hallelujah. Everybody's running away. David's running to it. What are you doing? David knew something. David saw something. Do you? And even though they tried to place Saul's armor on him. Oh man, they tried to place Saul's armor. It didn't fit. You see, you can't fight Goliath being someone else. You can't fight Goliath with somebody else's equipment. God's called you. God's anointed you. You must go as you. Not someone else. It's you he wants. It's you he's called. Stop running. Stop trying to be somebody else. It's you. God's prepared you for such a time as this. So show up, my friends. Rise up, my friend. Shake off Saul's armor. Shake it off and pick up the stone that God has put. Pick up that little thing. Pick up that lunch, that little stone, and go into the battle. Run like David ran right into the battle. Face Goliath. Face him. I know he's going to laugh. I know he's going to mock you. I know he's going to insult you. I know he's going to say, am I a dog to fight someone so small as you? But why? But what the enemy doesn't know is that it's bigger than he thinks. And what the enemy doesn't know about you, my friend, is that it's bigger than he thinks for you. Rise up. Rise up. Pick up the stone. Take your rag, your sling, and face him. Stop running. That's for somebody. Because there's destiny. Because this Goliath that you're about to slay is going to propel you into the next level and to the place that God wants you to be. So stand up, my friends. Stand up and throw that stone in the spirit. Watch Goliath come down and watch and see how God propels you into that place that he's called you to be. Let me pray. I gotta pray for somebody out there. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I gotta pray. You play something quiet. Philip. You know, I wrote this message. I wasn't sure. This is fresh. I knew that God was speaking. Didn't think I was going to share on the life of David for a long time. But there's a word for someone, a word for us. And I believe it's also a word for the church, because Goliath can mean many things. COVID could be a Goliath. Rise up, my friend. This giant doesn't have you. God has destiny for you. Every day is important. Look and see what God is going to do with just so much. Father, I thank you for your words. Lord, I know that there's a lot of different words and different things that were said today, different thoughts, life lessons, but I know that you're speaking to us. And for those listening on YouTube, and Facebook, other areas, especially the ones that are facing Goliath, I pray, Lord, that you'll give them the boldness like you did David, that you'll bring back to their memory how you've worked in their lives in the past that has brought them to this point. They can face. Give them strength, Father, to throw that stone, I pray. Let them not recoil now. Let them not run away now. So I have a word for you, friend. Stay the course. Don't run, and watch and see what God is going to do.